This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca, in for Ira Flatow. Well, it looks like the space shuttle will be staying on the Earth for a while. The shuttle Discovery was supposed to launch on Wednesday. It would have been the first shuttle flight since the Columbia disaster in 2003. But just hours before liftoff, NASA canceled that launch. A sensor in the external fuel tank was giving erratic readings, and flight safety rules preclude a launch under those circumstances. Now engineers across the country are scrambling to solve the problem so the shuttle can launch before the end of the month. If that's not possible, NASA will have to wait until September to try again. Joining me now with an update on the shuttle is NPR science correspondent Richard Harris. He's talking to us from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Joe.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. If you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topics. So, Richard, I guess people were hoping Sunday was possible yesterday, but now that looks like it's out of the question.
Sunday is definitely out of the question. I think it was an aspiration more than a realistic hope that they could launch on Sunday. And now they're saying, the word just came down that they're going to really need to restart the entire countdown, which means that it takes always 4 days to get through a countdown when you start at the beginning, essentially, of it. And so that means late next week would be the earliest possible that they could launch it. But that presumes they figure out what's wrong with this fuel sensor. And if they don't figure that out, who knows when they'll launch.
Right. So what are we talking about here? What is this sensor? What's it supposed to do? And why is it so important?
Well, it's actually a very simple device. It's basically a little piece of wire, and when it's immersed in liquid hydrogen, it notes that it feels wet, and it sends electrical signal saying it's wet. And when it's not immersed in liquid hydrogen, it says it's dry. The problem is, as they test it out, it doesn't always give the right answer. And this is critical to know because the sensor is part of a system that is designed to make sure that the fuel doesn't run dry with the engine still burning, because if you try to keep the engines going and not supply any fuel to the engines, the engines can basically burn up and pieces could fly around and it could be a really bad scene. Or it's also possible that if it says, oops, fuel is out, and it's not out, then the engines shut off and you're not in orbit, and that's also a really bad situation. So there are a bunch of sensors. There are multiple redundancies to make sure that there isn't a bad signal. One sensor wouldn't lead to an absolute disaster, but they want to make sure that all four of these redundant sensors are working. So just to have that extra assurance. So
sure.
They don't know if it's actually the sensor itself, or maybe it's the wires that carry the signal from the sensor out of the external tank and across into the space shuttle, or maybe it's the electronic boxes that those wires go into once they get into the shuttle. Maybe there's something wrong there, and there are literally hundreds of possibilities and many, many engineers right now trying to eliminate them one at a time.
Right. Does it seem like a problem that can be solved while the shuttle is still on the launch pad, or is there some situation that would require them to roll it back to the vehicle assembly building?
Yeah. Well, they are trying right now to troubleshoot it on the pad, and in fact, that's why the Sunday launch was put off, because they needed to take some fuel out of the shuttle in order to make it safe enough for people to poke around in it. And So people are poking around looking for a wiring problem, and if they discover a wiring problem, then they're lucky, and they could actually think about a launch later next week. But but if it's inside the external fuel tank, that's really bad news, because then you do have to roll the shuttle back to the vehicle assembly building and take it apart and maybe either put the shuttle on a different fuel tank or try to repair this fuel tank. And they say it's not impossible that you could still get a launch by the end of July if you had to roll back to the vehicle assembly building. But they also say that with not very much confidence that they could actually accomplish that. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
Richard, I'm just wondering, you know, we talk about this launch window going till the end of July, and then there's a break in August, and then they have another launch window in September. Why? I mean, does everybody go on vacation at NASA in August, or is there some other reason they can't launch the shuttle in August?
No vacation, although it would be appealing not to be in Florida in August. Actually, people work here very hard. And the reason is that they need to launch during the daytime in order to get very good views of the shuttle when it's blasting off, because they want to make sure that they fix the external fuel tank, which had been shedding foam and was what caused the Columbia disaster. So they need to launch in daylight. That's one constraint. They also need to make sure that they can see the external tank when it separates from the shuttle over the Indian Ocean. So it has to be daylight here in Florida and daylight there. So that sort of limits what you can do. And then, you remember, it's going to the International Space Station. So so they have to launch so they can essentially catch up to it in orbit. And that gives them a very small window to play with. It's about 5 or 10 minutes that they have to launch on any one of these days. And so basically the conditions are just wrong in August to do that, so they'd have to wait to September, and likewise you couldn't do anything in October. You'd have to wait for actually a very small window in November if it came to that. So
yeah
it's a lot of things to factor in, plus the weather. I don't know if you can hear the thunder rumbling behind us.
I hope you're in a safe spot. I mean, we'd hate to lose you lose you to a weather accident in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Richard, just finally, you've been down to these launches before, and we've been talking a lot on the air about, you know, the culture of NASA and how things are really different now, and they really want to hear all points of view, and they're going to take everybody's concerns seriously. Do you sense a qualitative difference about the way engineers and mission managers are addressing this problem, for example, versus the way they've addressed others in the past?
Well, this problem would, under any circumstances, have said no go for launch. So we're actually getting a little bit of a mixed message about that, which is, on the one hand, they're saying this is yet another more evidence of our improved safety culture, but we wouldn't have launched anyway. So it's a funny situation where most people feel that they were trying to be safe and they want to say that they've improved, but they also want to think, well, we were always kind of safe. We tried to, obviously. There were failings along those lines. But, I think, people have thought long and hard about it. But it's hard to, NASA's created safety offices and things like that. But it's hard to really judge how people approach problems. But, I think, we are certainly hearing a lot more caution, as we did after the Challenger accident in 1986. I think those were some of the safest launches right after Challenger, because no one wanted to make a mistake. And the vigilance was high. And we're back to that high vigilance point right now, no question about it.
Care to make a prediction of whether they'll get off in July or not?
I care not to, thank you.
All right, Richard Harris, being ever cautious and thoughtful as usual. Richard, thanks very much for joining us.
Great to talk to you.
Richard Harris is a science correspondent for National Public Radio in Washington.